Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to another Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Rich Herring, and my guest this week is Ed Gamble. Here's some stuff to tell you about. As it occurs to me, it's still being recorded. If you want to come down and see a live recording, the next one is on December the 11th at the Leicester Square Theatre. Go to leicestersquaretheatre.com, and there's then 2 more, one in January and one in February. I'd love to see one or more of those. The money from the door all goes into making more sketches, so it will be useful if you came down, as we're nearly run out of money. The last one might just be us holding up little bits of paper and jiggling it around. Who knows? Also, you can buy my DVD Happy Now at www.gofasterstripe.com. And there's news from Ed Gamble as well. He was supposed to be at the Leicester Square Theatre doing his show Stampede in November, but unfortunately there was a massive power cut and lots of shows in the West End got closed down, including his. So it's been rescheduled to February the 17th. At the Leicester Square Theatre, about 9 o'clock, I think. There's still a few tickets there from people who've had to return their tickets. I think it's sold out. I'm also at the Leicester Square Theatre that week doing my show, The Best, which has far more tickets to sell. So go to leicestersquaretheatre.com. Want to do a little double bill? Come and see me and then go and see Ed Gamble. You'll have a lot of fun. I think you'll agree after listening to this podcast. We're both extremely funny Mel. Both extremely funny Mel. Messed it up. We'll have to redo the whole thing. Okay, here's Richard Herring's Leicester Square Lepa.
Is it working? Ladies! Is it working, the audience? They're not saying anything. I knew it was working. You fell into my trap. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who is eating a cheese lollipop right now. It's delicious. It's Richard Herring!
Yeah.
welcome to Rich Holmes Leicester Square Theatre Podcast. I was in Wolverhampton the other day. There's no one cool there, is there? I was in Middlesbrough. I was in Benson Street in Middlesbury, and all the people there called it Roller Stubber. So I don't know. That's where the cool people hang out. This is going out in a few weeks. But I don't know if you saw that Channel 4 are making a TV show in which they are making a robot version of Gemma Chan. It's presented by Gemma Chan, and they're making a robot version of Gemma Chan. That is my idea. I should have had me in there. I mean, it's good because they also should, at the end of the episode, they should have a bloke trying to fuck it, right? Definitely, shouldn't they? Definitely, shouldn't they? I hope they have, but they should have come to me. I'd have taken that part if they'd offered it to me, but just for science, you know. I've seen a picture of a like standing next to it, and you can tell which one is the real. I have to say, it does not. The technology is not yet perfected, but we've been, as it occurs to me, we've been making a our own version made out of toasters, which I've just seen. I've just seen the photos of it. It's been made now. That's what we spent your Kickstarter money on. It doesn't look very much. It looks less like Gemma Chan, I would say, than the Gemma Chan robot in that. But that's kind of interesting, isn't it? That's everything I do. The TV just they. Get it. They just do it, don't they? That's my idea. No, it's not. It's not the idea of someone seeing humans and copied that. They've copied me. It's very different. Who's in the audience today? There's only got wearing dungarees here, madam. That's a nice, cool. That should have been my opening. I saw a lady wearing some dungarees, and she. What do you call Rich Holmes Leicester Square Theatre Podcast?
What?
Do you know where you are? What's your name?
Katie.
You should call yourself Catelyn. It's better for numerology. And were you in the first one? Do you know where you are? You look very confused. Do you know, I'm Richard Herring.
I don't even know who you are.
No, I'm Richard Herring. Hi, I'm Richard. Hi, I'm Richard. What's brought you along?
So we had to sit at the back.
You had to sit at the back.
We arrived really late.
Yeah.
So we had to drive here.
Yeah. No, whether you're in central London, so don't drive here. Get a bus or who do you think you are? There's a car park around the corner, but don't worry about that.
£12 per hour.
Yeah, well, that's why you don't drive into London, because it's really expensive. Have you just been hatched from an egg? Are you a robot? Don't you? A, you don't know who I am. I mean, that's weird. How could that? I thought, well, something's going on. It's me, Richard Herring, from What the Dickens. I was going to have... Didn't you see that? That's what everyone's thinking. I was going, oh, that's why I saw him. I look a bit like Charlie Borman from the... No? What do you do for a living, Katie?
Studying as a social worker.
You're studying as a social worker, yeah. You're not doing very well so far. This is part of the study. I've been sent by your... tutor, yeah, that's good. Thanks for the help. Don't you, when you're a social worker, you don't just chip in when someone. It's a tutor, yeah, I know.
If they've got verbal,
if they've got verbal problems, the problem with that, it would have been a good diss, but you went if they got verbal. Verbal problems. That was the. It's lovely to meet you. It's all right. I think you and I are going to be good friends. You should do a Dex's Midnight Runner tribute act as well. So it'd be good. Do you know who they are? Do you remember Dex's Midnight Runners? Do you remember them? No. Do you remember? She went, and that sentence wasn't Dex's Midnight Runners. It was remember. So the problem, the issue you had with that was the notion. What is this remember? What does remember mean? So when you have you ever thought about something that isn't happening now but happened? That's what remembering is. It's good, isn't it? You're too young for Dex's Midnight Runners, but that's, it all comes around, doesn't it, in a circle, like the I Love A Ottoma t-shirt. That all comes round in a circle. Well, thank you. I didn't film that, so you're all right. Usually I film on my phone, so you're saved the embarrassment, but I reckon someone can work out who you are from the description. So my guest tonight, he's probably best known from as the younger man from Shih Tzu Bingo. That's why we're all here tonight, to see him. Will you please welcome Edward Gamble, ladies and gentlemen? It's Edward. Edward Gamble.
Welcome.
Sit down. Make yourself at home.
Thank you very much.
What was Shih Tzu Bingo all about?
Shih Tzu Bingo was a short film that I was in where I played the younger man.
Yeah.
And Ray Peacock played the older man.
Oh, yeah. I know.
And we were bin men.
Okay.
And I went around with another bin man and then discovered that man was a paedophile and I killed him on a beach with a spade.
Wow.
No, we weren't bin men. We went around picking up dead dogs.
Oh.
Yeah.
I asked you about that backstage, about dead animals, and that never came up.
Well, they weren't real dead animals.
What were they then?
Like little fake dead dogs.
Oh, were they?
Yeah,
they were real. They told you they weren't real.
It was quite a low budget. They did have to use real dead dogs.
Oh,
as far as I'm aware, that film has not been finished with the editing process.
Right, okay.
And that was about 6 years ago. So
that's a while ago. It's still on the IMDb page, though, so it's still a credit.
Still a credit, thank you very much.
It was hard to find something that you were most well-known for, because...
Well, I tell you what, I know when you interviewed Nish Kumar, he brought up Blue Go Mad in Ibiza, which I was also in.
Were you? It's not mentioned on your IMDb page.
Well, I've really fucked myself over by bringing it up here, then, haven't I?
What role did you play? Because that was, you set up bars in Ibiza.
We set up, I didn't. The production team set up a bar in Ibiza and convinced the boy band Blue that they were running a bar in Ibiza. But everyone involved was actors. And I was playing a man marrying a big Blue fan.
Right.
And I had to go on a stag night with Anthony Costa. I mean, not the highest point in my life. So I learned some interesting facts. We played a game of Would You Rather, where you have to drink if you've done the thing.
Right.
And my suggestion was, have you been to the Colosseum? And Anthony Costa had to ask his manager if he'd been to the Colosseum. And also, his favourite food is potato salad.
So, is it?
Yep.
He could be one of his own fans. I'd like to look him up on that YouGov and find out what his fans like. But that's good. Yeah, well, that's.
So I've been doing well.
Yeah,
so.
No, you're doing all right. You're on Mock the Week a lot.
I do that.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a proper show.
It is a proper show.
And you're doing lots of stand-up. So you're on a stand-up tour at the moment as we speak. Maybe not as we're being broadcast. What's your latest stand-up? Because I've seen you... I used to come to yours and Peacock... You used to be in a double act with Ray Peacock.
So I did.
Peacock and Gamble. It was one of my hot ticket shows I always went to see.
Yeah, I mean, hot ticket would suggest that other people were buying them.
Yeah, there was always people there.
You didn't need a ticket because I think you just tended to wander in.
I think I usually paid. I'm quite good at
paying.
Did
you?
Yeah, I think I usually pay. But you're usually... I steal pick and mix, but I usually pay for other acts in Edinburgh. So what's the latest stand-up show about and what's it called?
What is it about? I mean...
What's it about?
It's my first tour, so the first half is about all my best stuff that I've not used on tour yet. And then the second half is primarily about cauliflower, but then it's me trying to prove that it's not about cauliflower.
Okay.
Which, I mean, everyone sounds really interested with that as a concept. That's my big PR hook, the cauliflower thing.
That's good. I did a whole show about how yogurt, I don't really like yogurt, but everyone says
yeah, but
I mix yogurt.
It in with other stuff to try and not make it interminable for the audience.
That's your mistake.
Mine's not, if I could describe my show, it's not an endurance event.
And so did you meet Nish at university? Durham University.
Yeah,
so
we were in a sketch group together at Durham University.
That's right. Yeah,
the Durham Review.
Yeah,
one of the hot tickets in Edinburgh.
I never saw that one.
That was good.
Was it good? Yeah, well, it was a good cast. So who else was it? You and Nish and
Tom Neenan as well, who's a brilliant writer and does brilliant one man shows in Edinburgh as well.
Yeah,
and Hannah Yaddy, who you won't know, but she's a very talented singer. Out there dropping hot tracks as we speak. And Pete Riley, who's a lecturer in Exeter. So we've all done all right.
We have, yeah. We've done all right. In KMN04, that was my first, that was my student review show. That's the sticker for it.
That's
there.
That's good. Who was in that one?
Mike Cosgrave.
Yeah,
he studied metallurgy, is now in folk bands in Devon. Mike Devon Cosgrave, we used to call him, because he was from Devon. That was his nickname.
Oh, he was from Devon. Yeah. You didn't give him the nickname Devon, and then he thought, well, I better move to Devon then.
And Emma Kennedy. Emma Williams, she was called then. She changed her name due to the crime she committed under the original name. Stuart Lee.
That's how badly that show went, to change her name to Kennedy.
Stuart Lee, don't know what happened to him.
Yeah.
Richard Canning, academic. Joe Renshaw, she's the girl she didn't turn up to rehearsals, so we sacked her. But I lost my virginity to her.
Oh, well
Hi,
done.
Joe. Haven't seen you much since.
She is good. I mean, it's worrying that you lost your virginity to her and then she didn't turn up to rehearsals.
Well, I don't think it's an unconnected. And then she left the university.
Yeah, one rehearsal was enough, thank you very much.
Tim Richardson, who writes about sweets.
Does he?
And is a gardening expert. You may have seen him on, documentaries about sweets and stuff.
How long can you write about sweets?
Yeah, he's written a whole book about sweets. He's great. He's really funny. He was the funniest one, really. But he's become a sort of academic, but a quirky academic. He'll go on TV every now and again. It's very interesting, you know. I think my lot have done better than, because they're also old as well. So yeah. A, they've stayed alive definitely for a long time.
Yeah, I suppose they have won.
We don't know how long your lot will live.
Yeah,
but we know ours. My lot will live at least till nearly 50.
I mean, there's also no way of eventually ending the competition, is there? Because I'd imagine by the time the last one of us is alive, you will all be long in the ground.
In hind, my kids, I can send it down a generation.
Yeah, I'm sure your kids will be willing to pick up your bullshit things later on in life. What's in the will? Any money? No, unfortunately not. He spent all the Kickstarter on a podcast. I don't know what they are. No, we've got to go and find Ed Gamble and see if he's still alive.
I'm going to hand down my dummies to my child. I haven't yet. I'm looking forward to introducing them tomorrow. I'm going to take these home and I'm going to show them to my daughter and see if she loses her shit. Imagine.
It's nice to be able to put an exact date on the moment you scar your child forever.
She might really like it. And as it occurs to me, I introduced the people to my mum, bought her this for the first Christmas present. She bought like a rag doll she'd got from some cheddar fate store.
Yeah.
But it's like a reverse gollywog. It's like
a reverse.
Well, it's like a white gollywog. It's like white hair, really pale skin, and it's just this terrible button eyes. And it's just the most terrifying thing you've ever. And they open up, and we all go, "What the fuck is it in it?" We open up. That's the first toy she got for Christmas. She loves it.
Why would anyone make? Was that like an initial attempt at racial equality?
It's either very racist. It's racist one way or the other, isn't it? It's either someone saying, "Hey, we should." The way to allow gollywogs is to have white gollywogs as well. Might be lampooning the white race. Or it's just like we're the master race of Somerset. And this, we want all our dolls to be as white as they possibly can be.
Did it have like a crown on and stuff?
It didn't, no. It's a terrifying thing, but she loves it. She's called it Barbara after my... Well, we called it Barbara, but she calls it Barbara now, which is my mum's name.
Oh, but your mum loves that.
Well, it's her fault. What I'm very interested in, when I first met you, you were quite a hefty chap.
I was.
And you've not only lost weight, but you've kept the weight off, which is incredibly impressive, because I'm quite good at losing weight. But then I think, fuck it. I don't know if you can tell, at the moment I'm thinking, fuck it. But I'd quite like to get thin again. So what is your secret of losing weight and keeping weight off?
I sort of cut down from about 5 lunches to 2. And now, you know, I'll treat myself to 3 now and again, but it mainly hovers around, I'll be honest, 1 lunch a day.
Yeah, is that the key?
That's helped, and just boring stuff like exercise. I think people want really exciting answers to that question. It's like, how did you do it? It's like, it's just the really boring stuff that no one wants to do or hear about. I can't go like, ooh, cat's blood. Like, I've got to know.
But it is quite unusual. Most people don't keep, you know, most people like do it and then slip back again.
Yeah, also I'm type 1 diabetic as well, so it does. I do have to maintain some level of health to keep that in check as well, so there is nothing funny coming in this sentence. Just in case you're wondering, where's the joke going
to
be?
I've had people on here who've tried to kill themselves, so diabetes is nothing, mate. We're not impressed with that. Your diabetes, come back when you've got a proper disease, mate. We're not going to get all serious about diabetes.
type 1 as well. Let's specify
is that,
what
is that
type
the,
it is.
Is that the good one or the bad one?
Well, they're both brilliant.
Is that the one you
brilliant.
Can walk... Is that the one you can walk off under, the other one?
It's the one where I have to inject myself and all of that sort of stuff.
Oh, God, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for being light-hearted about it now.
Thanks. I want to do a sad podcast. I want to get on the front page of Chortle. Ed Gamble cried about his diabetes.
Does it mean you have to eat more sweet stuff or less sweet stuff? Or just at different times?
It depends on the level of your blood sugar. I mean, imagine if there was a disease where someone had to eat more sweet stuff. I would be going, oh, God, it's so difficult. I'd be like, I'm fucking living the high life here.
That's what I would like.
Yeah, obviously. That doesn't make you an interesting... I'd like to eat more sweets, and for it to be good for my health, I'd like a prescription for Mars Bars.
That's what I'm aiming for. So, have you seen the website Dirty Britcom Confessions?
Of course I have.
So, you've seen... There aren't many about... There's a couple about you.
Yep.
This is the one I like the most of the two. Ever since I first saw Ed Gamble, I can't stop thinking about how good a boyfriend he'd be. This is really bad.
Yeah. Raw sexuality.
I also think he'd be rather sweet and tender in bed, too. Is that are their preconceptions correct about that?
I mean, I why can't I get one where it's like, oh, I'm going to fuck him so hard, and I'm going to sit on his face, it's all, oh, he's going to be so nice.
But, it says, saying that, I'd have happily sucked him off whilst he and Ray attempted to record their podcast. How do you think that would have... I'm just wondering how that would have gone down while you were trying to record the podcast if someone was happily
trying
to suck you
off. Well, I don't
know
how they imagine the podcast being recorded, yeah. But there wasn't like a table set up, so no one could have gone under the table. It was just like on a L-shaped sofa. So I'd imagine it would have gone down very badly.
It would have attracted comments. It made it difficult for you. I mean, we're doing a podcast now.
Yeah.
We could see if anyone would like to come up. And just see if it would make it good. I'm just not sure it'd be that sexy a moment, because I'd be like, going, this is a bit awkward. And
you'd be like a bit jealous as well.
Well, no, I'm not allowed to do that sort of stuff anymore now. It's a terrible thing. But you know, I think it was stifled conversation.
Yeah, definitely from my end, I think that was...
And I'd be asking you emergency questions.
Yeah.
I think people would be looking at the spectacle.
I think most people would be looking at that happening, wouldn't they?
Anyone want to come up and give it? David? No.
Guys?
No?
No.
Andy?
No.
No? Wow, that's a fucking diss. He sucked off every single male guest on stage.
Come on, Andy, suck me off, mate.
Don't let me down, man. I knew this would get. I knew it would get giddy. I was all like serious with Catelyn, and then the minute she went, I became very giddy.
Very giddy little boy.
I was very giddy and childish backstage. I could only apologise. Could you ever have sex with someone who called breasts boobies?
Either.
I mean, I think if it was before, and they said boobies, I'd have to go, sorry, you have to leave now. If it was during, I would say, sorry, that's the, I am.
Yeah,
I'm
I think, but I think there's a difference. I think before.
Ooh, touch my boobies.
Yeah, but if they're just being silly and like before, like yeah, you're just messing around, like, oh, just touch my boobies. During, there's got to be a switch in vocab, hasn't there?
If they're like this, this is how I imagine it'd be. touch my boobies.
Yeah, no, I'm out.
What would I prefer? Anything. Boobies is just a terrible. I mean, boobs would be. I would let.
It's so carry
it
on, though, isn't it? Boobs is so carry on. Touch my boobs. It wouldn't be. Tits is a bit aggressive.
I think unless they say mammary glands, please caress my mammary glands. They are. That is their function. You may enjoy them now in another function.
Touch my milk bags.
Their primary function is a gland.
You only like very scientific language during sex, though, don't you?
Yeah. I'll ask you this one. This is a popular new question. You may have heard if you were here last week. If you had to do a human centipede with two other people, You are in the middle.
I'm in the middle.
Yeah. Which two people would you choose to go in the human centipede? One on your mouth and one on your anus.
I've often thought I'd be very good in those films in the middle, by the way, because it's essentially eye acting, isn't it?
If you're lucky, it depends on how big the buttocks of the person in front of you are.
Yeah, you could get...
You could be just completely...
Yeah.
Like, it could be on like one eyebrow.
Yeah. Just... That wouldn't get me on IMDb. I guess it would have to be someone with a very good diet, but I think in that situation, their diet's prescribed for them, isn't it? Because they're not just living their normal life with... Like, if someone has kidnapped us and sewn us together, it's not them just like...
I think there might be a more benevolent human centipede maker. They might say, well, I've made it now, go off and
go and live your life.
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Here's a big coat, have fun.
You have to promise me you're not going to get someone to unstitch you. Yeah. Do you promise? And then you can go. But if you don't promise, you can't go. That's what I imagine.
Right,
he's a nicer guy than the guy in the film.
Yeah, he's not...
sounds awful.
I watched an interview with the actor once, with the director and the actor, and you think these are weird people who made these films, but maybe, you know, maybe they've just got a sense of humour about the whole thing. And then they were being interviewed, and the director revealed that the man who played the villain used all his own clothes for the movie. So someone with a good diet up top, probably one of these, like, one of these... vloggers, like, you know, that Ella lady,
right,
who puts pictures on her Instagram of really nice stuff she's making.
So, like, smoothies or stuff, is it?
Smoothies, and smoothies, I didn't think about that. Oh no, that's going to be an absolute disaster. That's just going to go straight through three people, isn't it? It's going to be like a log flume.
And you're going to have to ask them to have a very specific diet to feed in with your diabetes as well. That's the problem.
Yeah. Oh, we've not thought this through, Richard. Do you think I could request to the kidnapper that I go up front? Because
no,
I have
that's, no, no. That's the up front is just happy days, isn't it?
So, but then they're going to have to show me everything they're eating so I can estimate the carb content.
Yeah.
But then I think the carb content is going to be affected after it's been through another human being.
I don't know. I don't know if there are charts for that.
I think I'm going to have to just, you know, see how it goes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, smoothies and then into the mouth of... It doesn't really matter, does it?
Well, you know, it'd be fun to...
They're not going to be able to have a go at you about it, so...
It'd be fun to put somebody you don't like there, maybe that's the...
Yeah.
I would like Michael Gove around there. Partly because, you know, Michael Gove have to...
Yeah.
Kiss my bottom.
Yeah. It's not kissing, though, is it, so much? I mean, if you think that's kissing, I feel very sorry for your wife. Fancy a kiss? I'll get the needle and thread.
Oh, dear, good. Here's a new emergency question.
How do you decide when that question is over, by the way? Yeah, good, got everything I wanted from that. Thank you very much.
It's a very hard thing to judge, but I've got to the stage where I've done this enough.
Yeah.
I just know the time.
You just know,
I just know the moment. Then straight to the next question. Have you ever been in a canoe?
Why not? We all felt that question coming. I have.
Yeah. How was it? Interesting, isn't it, being in a canoe?
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, just miming a canoe. That was rowing. I used to row, actually.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, and we managed to capsize a boat in the Thames.
Oh, did you?
And then one of my friends got Viles disease from
that. Yes, nasty rat syphilis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is also the name of our band.
I rowed for a reality TV show. And I hit a woman in the face with an oar. We had to stop the race. Not on purpose.
This wasn't before the race?
It wasn't. It was during the race. It was there. It was Connie Huck's fault.
I mean, a lot of things are.
It's true. She sort of steered into us, so, you know, it wasn't my fault.
So then, was that the only way to get them away from you? Or...
No, they were just... I was carried on rowing. And
you carried on rowing?
They were in the way. We were trying to win the race. Do you not understand how rowing is?
I do know about rowing, and there's a definite difference between the feeling of you're all going through water and through a woman's face.
She was all right. Did you ever catch a crab in the when it goes deep and then it swings around
and it goes round behind you? Yeah,
that's scary, isn't it?
Real scary.
Did it ever hit you in the face?
It did hit me in the face many times. Yeah, wow. I wasn't a very good rower, unfortunately.
Anyway, we didn't ask about rowing. What about the canoe?
I have a
very different question.
I believe I've also been in a canoe on like an adventure holiday when I was 13. Yeah,
and what happened?
They taught us how to capsize. They taught us how to capsize just in case. We did capsize.
Yes, yeah, useful.
And we didn't. So the only time we capsized was when they made us capsize.
Yeah.
So that's all you're going to get from that anecdote, Richard.
Well, I think that's we found out you went on an adventure holiday. What else happened? Did you get off with any girls in the camp during the adventure?
No, because it was like a school thing. You went with your school, and I was with an all boys school.
Did you get off with any of the boys from school? Have you been canoeing?
I don't remember getting off with any of the boys from the school, but I do know we were staying in a static caravan next to the teacher's static caravan, and one night, the door of the teacher's static caravan blew open because of the wind, and we all saw Mr. Van Der Beek's penis.
And he'd been waiting by that door for a long time. See, I told you that canoe question would come. So, we found out. And I now don't have to ask, have you ever stayed in a static caravan? Which was my next question. I found that out already. I've been, as people will know, I'm trying to write 500 emergency questions for my Kickstarter reward book.
Getting really angry with people for trying to help.
People suggest questions to me on Twitter. I'm not genuinely angry. I just think it's funny to pretend to be angry. But they're all shit. they're all terrible. And so I have to write them. And also, I'm not saying, I'm doing this. Please help me out. So don't help me out, because only I can do them. Because it takes a certain genius to come up with questions like this. Have you ever been possessed by a demon or been accused of being a demon? And are you a demon? Because I think you're a demon.
That's one of yours?
Yeah, that's one of mine.
Right.
That's a good one.
That's a good one, right.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's difficult to tell between the good ones and the shit ones, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's something you're asking me now, is it?
Have you ever been possessed by a demon? Really should wait each time.
Right, okay.
Have you ever been possessed by a demon?
And then I'll answer that bit now. No.
Have you been accused of being a demon?
No.
Are you a demon?
No.
Well, if you were a demon, you would say that, wouldn't you? Or you wouldn't be a very good demon.
No, demons... I don't think demons are known for their secrecy. I don't remember the bit of The Exorcist where they went, "Who are you?" And they went, "Oh, I'm just the girl." Like, they knew it was a demon. Otherwise, they wouldn't have... We won't get an exorcist in then. And that would just be called The Girl Who Was A Bit Ill.
Okay. Have you ever been in the vicinity of a celebrity when they farted?
I mean, I must have been.
Yeah.
I must have been. Because they, some people do little silent farts.
They do, yeah. You never noticed it.
I told you this in the dressing room. I had a wee next to Jamie Foxx once.
You did, yeah.
Yeah, so sometimes...
Probably.
Sometimes men have a little fart at the urinal, don't they?
I'll tell you what.
So there you go. Richard's just done a pump there. Rather arrogantly suggests that now I think I've been next to a celebrity when he started.
I was in What the Dickens. I was on What the Dickens. Have you ever in What the Dickens? The Sky Arts panel show?
I wasn't.
Sue Perkins hosted it.
It does sound good.
Sandy Toksvig hosted it.
Yeah.
And Sue Perkins was one of the team captains.
Yeah, they've both gone on to pretty big things.
They've done all right, yeah. Have you ever sucked on a... have you ever sucked on a fisherman's friend, lowercase?
Well, there's so many answers to that question, aren't there?
Yeah.
I may have kissed a girl who was friends with a fisherman. That might...
Yeah.
Possibly. I mean, I can't go into any other details.
Good.
I mean, that's one of the ones where the humour's very much in the question, and
it is, yeah.
If you answer it, you sort of spoil it for everyone, don't you?
No, maybe. If you had to choose between killing all of the eggheads or all of the chasers on the chase, which group of quiz nerds would die?
It's got to be the eggheads, hasn't
it? Yeah. There's more of the eggheads, though. That's the thing.
What? Is this a fight situation?
No, you just kill them.
So I kill them, but you're suggesting that I might be annoyed that it takes slightly longer to kill all the eggheads.
Yes, you might feel maybe I should take the choice of killing less human beings, but you still have chosen to kill more human beings.
Oh, I see. No, because also Paul Sinner's one of the chasers.
That's my argument.
Yeah, he's a very good stand-up comedian, lovely man. So I think, and I don't know the eggheads, and they, are you wafting? Wafting?
Catelyn Moran said I smelt really nice.
That's why you should always ask to go on first on this podcast.
It's a very different podcast we're having.
Will CJ be there?
I think you get CJ thrown in. I think it's all the eggheads that have ever been.
Well, it's got to be the eggheads then, yeah. Because if CJ's there, he's going to be the sweetest kill.
I mean, and CJ might kill a couple of them for you. Yeah. But...
I mean, if we do it by a canal, he might get startled at some point. And...
He's not being extradited. I think this is the first success of Brexit. Is he's not being sent to Holland to face the music for his crime. CJ kicked a man into a canal, he says. He just didn't do it. I want him extradited so he has to go in the court and go, yeah, I just didn't do it. You know, everyone says that, yeah, but I made it up. I was showing off.
I'd like to, if he had to go to court, and that's when we find out he's legally had his name changed to CJ from Egghead.
Well, I'm wondering that's what, if they put that on the thing, you know. Never mind, I can't think of what the word is. What's the word for when they have the warrant? That's it, yeah. It would be great if that, imagine if I'd come up. Okay. Have you ever fallen out of a hammock?
Yes, I have fallen out of a hammock.
Yeah. Yeah, funny.
A lot of these questions you answer about yourself before I've answered them. Have you ever fallen out of a hammock? I have.
That's how I got the idea.
In fact, I might not have fallen out of a hammock. I think it happened so quickly that I got tied up in the hammock.
Oh, yeah, that's better.
And so like a little bag of satsumas.
I think someone falling out of a hammock is the funniest thing that can happen.
That's a shame because you write comedy.
That's what annoys me.
Just sat there all day looking at a computer going, God, imagine if someone fell out of a hammock. I'm never going to come up with anything better than that.
I think it's true.
Thousands of Richard Herring scripts rejected at the BBC. What's this, Herring scripts? Yeah, another man fell out of a hammock, innit? That's it.
I was on holiday and I tied up my own hammock over my beach hut.
Yeah.
But I'm not really good at knots. And I was in it for about 3 minutes, and then I just fell out of it because the knot came undone, and I fell onto concrete, and it really hurt. See? People didn't even see that. Loving and they it. Found it funny. They imagine it in their head, and it was like I was quite fat at the time, and I was naked, you know, and I was just in my...
You were naked?
Nearly, I had a swimming trunk.
Never get in a hammock naked. Then, that image is absolutely repulsive.
It's the sound.
Everything's squeezing through like a Play-Doh factory.
It's the sound of a slightly sweaty fat man's body hitting some concrete as he's fallen out of a hammock.
I mean, it's initially funny and then tragic, isn't it?
Yeah, but isn't that the best kind of comedy? I can't believe that question's in there. That's awful. That's a good guy. I don't remember some of these. Do sperm have dreams? Do you think? I mean, you know, just...
That would suggest that sperm sleep, wouldn't it? So when you... Are you saying that when you go to sleep, your sperm will go to sleep? So if, like, you happen to wake up in the middle of the night and try and, like, masturbate or have sex, your sperm are like, oh, fucking hell, night shift.
Maybe.
So they're all having a little nap while you're having a nap.
Yeah, and they're dreaming about... I don't know, what would they dream about? Sperm, like, eggs and stuff?
Well, but they only know where they live, don't they? They don't know outside of that.
They must have an idea of where they're going.
Yeah. This was the original draft of Plato's Cave.
Sperm have dreams. That's a good one.
I'm glad I've come here at the beta testing phase for these questions.
All right, we'll ask you. There isn't much to ask you about you.
There's quite a lot if you've done some digging,
you
Richard.
You did the Peacock and Gamble podcast, which was nominated for a Chortle Award.
It was. Yeah, nominated a few times, I think.
Oh, yeah, you were nominated a few times.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, someone had a stranglehold over that particular award.
That's all I had on that. I just wanted to show off that.
Lost it eventually, though, didn't you?
I did, to the fish guys. No such thing as a fish.
Seeing you lose that award one year was even sweeter than the feeling of winning it would have been.
So you're in Almost Royal, in which you play a prince who had gone to America. A lord.
51st in line to the throne. 50th in line to the throne.
Right.
That was a show for BBC America where me and Amy Hoggett went round pretending to be brother and sister, 50th and 51st in line to the throne, and met real Americans and pretended that we were filming a documentary and just acted like absolute tits. It was a lot of fun.
What kind of things did the Americans... Were they quite deferential and...
Yeah, because I think if you say BBC, they're immediately deferential. Yeah. Like they see it as this absolutely incredible thing, so they will just listen to any sort of shit that we threw at them, and just talking about awful stuff, like making heavy insinuations that we were involved in incest. And we did a dance competition in Florida in front of 300 people where we did something that we called the brother and sister dance, which ended up with Amy on all fours and me like pretending to spank her from behind. Absolutely. In fact, at that one of them did go, "No, enough."
Do they love the kind of aristocracy out there as much as...
Oh, yeah, they absolutely love it. They think it's the cutest thing in the world. Right. They love it, a posh voice. Even if you say you're 50th and 51st in line to the throne, they hoover it up. They love it.
So did you get any unexpected bonuses out of that? I'm not talking about that.
Then what are you talking about?
Like, free chips.
It's really nice to know the ranking system in your head. If you can't offer me sexual favours, I will take free chips. We didn't get any free chips, but I was paid. So,
and is it ongoing, or is it?
No, not at the moment. I mean, we haven't heard.
Do you do a couple of series of it?
We did two series of it. Only one of which was on in this country, actually, on E4. But it was fun. It was a fun trip. We went everywhere. We went to Detroit.
Yeah.
Went to DC. Went to Texas. All over the place. It was great fun.
What is the best place in America?
The best place in America? That's a very good question. It's not Detroit, which was not a fun place. I mean, it's probably something boring like New York, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice in New York.
It's a good place. So I can't offer you any more interesting answer than New York.
Did you go up the Rockefeller Center lift and go to the top of the Rockefeller?
No, but we were working, so...
Well, you might have done that as part of your job. Did you go to the top of the New World Trade Center?
How many things are you going to ask me if I went to the top of them?
Did you go to the top of the Empire State Building?
I didn't go to the top of anything. I didn't even get to the top of the hotel because I was on the third floor.
So you had a ventriloquist dummy in your Peacock and Gamble show.
We did, Naughty Keith.
Naughty Keith. I've got a ventriloquist dummy in here.
Yeah, and ours was deliberately designed to be terrifying, but yours somehow is more shocking.
It's nice, isn't it? My great-granddad made it. Who couldn't like that? I think you should be a rake.
Oh, one of the eyes is shut. That's horrible.
It's got just a bit of a lazy, and his mouth doesn't shut. The other one, like Sally's mouth shut.
So she is.
Oh, there's another one. I mean, this is honestly the strangest moment of my entire life. Just a sort of fairly silent audience, and I'm sat on a stage with you clacking a ventriloquist dummy mouth at me. I feel like I may be asleep, as are all my sperm.
Have you got any questions, Fed? I don't really know who he is. That is very rude, Ali. Don't be rude about Ed. He's been on Mock the Week. Have you been on Mock the Week? No, I haven't. They've never asked me on. It was one of the many shows I've never been asked on. I think Mock the Week seems to have opened up.
A lot of new people
and it's
through.
A lot better as a result, I think. Do you not?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was never on it in the old days, so
no.
I can't really
you
compare
watched it.
Though. I watched it, yeah. I think it's a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun because it's just friends. Everyone's more friendly. I think it's possibly a more supportive thing, comedy, yeah, these days. It doesn't feel as competitive. There's a lot of friends.
That's strange, though, that it should be... I mean, it's interesting that it's that way round, because there was less people doing...
Yeah.
In my generation, there was hardly anyone doing comedy, and there, I think there was an element of competition.
Yeah.
And now there's loads of people doing comedy, it's really hard to get on anything.
But there's more opportunities to do comedy, though, as well. I think there might be more comedians, but I think you can just go and do comedy, whereas...
Yeah.
Possibly if there were, you know, less gigs.
There was,
less...
No, there were loads. I mean, because there was not that many people in the 1990s, 1980s, 1990s. You would always get work all the time. I mean, there were some real acts that
oh,
were just...
No, this is going to go really sad,
they
isn't
were
it?
Insane. They were just, like, insane people.
Did you used to get work all the time in the 1990s, Richard?
I didn't really know, but there were... Because I wasn't very good at stand-up. But there was, like, crazy people doing insane acts that I don't think they would be able to make a living at now.
But were they making a living, like, all
yeah,
of those...
Yeah, I think so. There was enough gigs to, you know, and also they didn't do anything all day, and they just, so they just literally... You became a comedian in order to just doss around and get stoned and then go out and do a job and get 100, 150 quid for the day.
There are still mad people about it. There's still, yeah, like, the mad element of the open spot circuit, but they're
yeah,
definitely not making a living out of it.
No. Well, there was definitely those kind of people as well who weren't making a living, but I think there was lots of acts that... worked. Well, it's sort of interesting that's you know, I would just think now there's so many comedians trying to be comedians. You're around about 30.
Yep.
And
bang
so,
on.
Thank you. Bang on 30. I can tell people's age from looking at their Wikipedia
yeah,
page. That is why that's some kind of amazing.
Desperately looking at their Wikipedia page, going, what else has he done? I'll tell you what, I'll bring up his age. That's on here. That's his main achievement, is his age is exactly the same as the years he's been alive.
But it's hard, especially if you're a white man right now, because it's all, eh?
Don't try and drag me into this conversation, Richard.
Sorry, I'll get Ali out to do this. Isn't it now? It's with all the women posing as comedians, isn't it?
What's his name? Andrew. Hello, Andrew.
Ali.
Ali, sorry.
Ali. Isn't it? And all the ethnic comedians. Sorry, he's not doing his voice properly.
No, he's not. No, that's just you holding a bit of wood exposing your views.
A piece of wood put together by my long-dead great-grandfather. Does that make it better or worse? No, but it's I was being Andrew. I was doing an Andrew Lawrence bit, but
no,
no.
Do you know? Maybe he has a point.
Do you know who Andrew Lawrence is? No, I'm talking to this lady. Do you know what comedy? Do you know what human? Are you having a nice time? No.
Why not?
I think you should.
I'm not going to talk to her because this was the point that Ray's went off course.
Exactly, so. I was thinking. Let's have the same thing. No, I mean it's. I think that back to being really serious. I think that's interesting that there is. I think there is a real feeling of support amongst your generation of comedians, and you know, very much against my generation. And
do you feel that? Do you feel
no,
like
I
we're
don't.
We're all against?
No,
you?
I like this generation because I just came back to comedy and did stand up with your generation of comedians, basically,
yeah,
and I didn't really do it with my generation of comedians. So I feel more akin to being with those people who are doing well now. Anyway,
it's really nice. The last episode of this series on Mock the Week was me, James Acaster, Sarah Pascoe, John Robbins, and Rob Beckett, and then Hugh and Dara.
Right, so it's great.
And it really just felt like the wheels were coming off it fairly quickly because we were just having a chat.
Yeah.
Like there was one point we all met up in a dressing room and Sarah went, there's no grown-ups here. And it did feel, and Hugh and Dara absolutely love that as well. They love getting involved in
yeah,
the chat, but it's a lot of fun. It doesn't feel competitive. And that bit at the end where everyone has to sort of go for the mic and do a joke that they've improvised. That bit, when you watch that on old episodes, if you turn on Dave, there's a really fraught atmosphere,
yes,
where there's sometimes people queuing behind each other,
yeah,
before the punchline's been delivered. You just see someone appear in the background going, this is going to go badly, and then I'm going to do my brilliant joke. But it takes ages when we do it, because we're all offering each other yeah, please, go for it. That's mainly because I forget them very easily.
But that's, you know, it's much nicer. That was the thing that I didn't like about Mock the
yeah,
Week. It was just... like too combative and too
people running to the mic and running back
yeah,
again
yeah, and you know, and they have made an effort to include like one woman a week, which is something.
So you'd notice I'm not answering any of those sorts of questions because I do still want to be on the show.
I think you should give up your place. And you've been on Drunk History. Were you with one of the people who was drunk on Drunk History?
I was one of the people who was drunk. I think it's the drunkest I've ever been.
What, how much did you drink?
I think, well, I had to trust them on this because I don't remember. I think it came out at 14 double gin and tonics and 7 double vodka sugar-free Red Bulls.
Has anyone ever died doing this show? That's kind of
I think I was only the third drunkest on that series.
Right.
But when I went in, they were like, okay, Ian Sterling blew a, like, 1.9 or whatever it was. And I was like, right, here we go. We're going to do this. And then Nick Helm was in the day after me and was told how much I drank and went specifically after my record. And I believe ended up getting out of the cab on the way home and running into the centre of London. And then woke up the next morning and he'd been to FOP and bought a DVD.
The kind of crazy thing your generation of comedians do.
I know. It's a problem with our generation.
When they do that, have you seen Drunk History? It's very good, I think. So they get a comedian drunk and then they make you tell a story and then they act out the story afterwards.
Yes.
So how much do they say this is a subject you know a bit about, or do they tell you a bit about the subject and you have to try and remember
it? They send you what the subject is and they send you a sort of breakdown of the points that you're supposed to hit to sort of cover the story, and then you remember whatever you can.
Yeah.
I mean, I did The Great Escape, but it was a complete mess. Honestly, a mess. Like, I spent ages on the South African accent of one of the people. But I just, the final shot is me just lying down, because I immediately wanted to go to sleep. Just me lying down and them going, we need this last bit. We just need one bit of the story. And I was going, Adolf Hitler's a bad man. And it's really nice to know that, you know, when I got really drunk, there's no views buried within me that I'm ashamed of. Even after all those spirits, I still think Adolf Hitler is a bad man. But I fell asleep. They do one in the afternoon, one in the evening, and you go and meet the researcher and start drinking. And then I fell asleep, and they left me to sleep on the sofa. And I woke up 3 hours after my record had finished, and all the cameras had gone.
Right.
And Nish Kumar was filming his in the room next door. And they were just starting to film. And from Nish's perspective, they started to roll, and then there was suddenly a knock on the door, and they went, yeah, sorry? And I went, hi, it's Ed. Can I come and watch Nish film Drunk History? And then apparently I just sneaked past them and went into the other room, and the first thing he said, I just went, bah! And then that was it. That was spoiled his whole thing.
So not so supportive after all.
No.
Trying to ruin it. And you were in the last series of Mandan and wrote quite a lot of the series, were a writer.
I was a writer on the third series, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I love that show.
It's a good show.
Yeah. This is Greg Davies. He's a teacher and has crazy adventures.
Crazy escapades. Yeah.
And you played... I couldn't work out it was you for a set. I said, that looks like Ed Gamble. And then it was you.
Because I was in the first series as well, playing a weatherman hosting an awards ceremony, just as my normal face. Mm. And then the third series, I co-wrote an episode with Greg where originally I wrote a vicar character to be played by a fresh-faced Englishman. And that was too unsubtle an attempt to crowbar myself into the show, so Greg changed it to an American man in his 40s. But they gave me the part of a guy called Peter, and I still had to go in an audition for it. And when I got the script for the audition, there were two major changes to the character, which was definitely Greg just trying to piss me off, which were he now had a massive beard and an extremely high voice.
But that was like a running joke through the series, wasn't the high voice? There was always, every episode, there was someone who said something
much too high
voice.
There's always someone with just bizarre voice.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but my character Peter had about three lines. And they're all like this. It's a lot of fun. Again, because I had such a big beard on, a lot of eye acting. So if the people from the Human Centipede are watching, I can do it. And I do have a show reel to demonstrate that fact.
Good, good. I'm going to ask you some more emergency questions.
Go for
it. Excited. They've been good, haven't they?
I'm buzzing.
They're good. They might be. I'm buzzing. What is the worst misconception about you? Yeah. Yeah, it's not a stupid one about cocks.
Just a little tip on these questions, Richard.
Yeah.
You can't make it a good question by at the end going, yeah. Yeah, that's a good question, isn't it? That's your little Jedi mind trick of going, yeah, you thought they were all shit, but that was brilliant in the end. Well done, Richard. This is a good podcast, actually. I don't think there's any misconceptions about me.
Everything
you went on the internet, you couldn't even find half of my CV. You can't find any sort of scurrilous rumours about me.
It's all right. It doesn't have to be a scurrilous rumour. It could be just like people...
I tell you what, everyone's always really surprised when I tell them that I'm really into heavy metal.
Right.
Because I've got like a Coldplay face.
Okay, yeah.
I really do. It's like I look like I like sort of very mainstream indie, but really I like horrendous bands where you can't understand the lyrics.
See? Got there again.
Yeah.
Good, was a good question, man, Andy. This is a good podcast, actually. So.
Andy, have you rethought the sucking off thing? It's just going around your head at the moment.
If we gave you 14 double gin and tonics and 7, do you reckon you'd do it then? That would be... there's all sorts of legal questions.
Will you sign a release form now?
Have you ever tried sushi? It's like fish and rice.
Oh, it's that sushi. Yeah, then I have tried it. I had no idea that. Tried sushi. I like
nice. Yeah,
I like sushi. I think it's delicious. Sometimes I just have sashimi. I don't even have the rice.
Man, that's interesting.
Just like the fish.
Someone suggested on Twitter. I asked, "Have you ever tried sashimi?" as another emergency question. I thought it was too much the same as, "Have you ever tried sushi?"
It's very similar. It's the same question minus the rice, isn't it?
If you could jump into a pool of something, and you can choose whatever is in the pool, what would you jump into? That's a question from lifehacks.io. I didn't make that one up.
So it's a pool of anything
that you've always wanted to jump into.
I mean, that suggests I've thought about it in the past, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I've gone, I've always wanted to jump in a pool.
You have.
In a pool of that.
Yeah.
I really like jelly.
Yeah.
If you could jump in a pool of jelly, I'd imagine that'd be quite refreshing as well.
Do you think, you might bounce, if there's a lot of jelly, if there's a pool full, do you think you might bounce out?
I suppose if it was one big pool full of a big set jelly, but I was suggesting lots of little jellies all poured into one big pool, and then you'd at least sink.
Do you think, though, or would they coalesce into one big jelly? Like, if you put jelly in a swimming pool...
Well, I suppose if it was a hot day and then was a very cold day immediately afterwards... Then yes, the jelly would coalesce, Richard. But I'm thinking, in my head, it was lots of little jellies in a pool, overcast.
I just don't know. I'm not sure about the physics of it, because I think even if the jellies are separate, I think they might form a bond.
They might form a bond and then...
Yeah, but it's like through physics.
Through physics?
Yeah, that would...
I didn't know you knew about science.
You can back me up on this, David. If there was a lot of jellies in a... No, it's physics saying it's chemistry. Look, I'm not asking you to make the jelly. That's chemistry. I'm asking the jellies.
The classic jellies. Chemistry, that, making a jelly.
The jelly's been made. Physics now. Someone's jumping into it. What's going to happen?
Yeah, stay separate. We like liquid.
Apparently, it'll be all right.
Well, there you go. I'm going with jelly then. Raspberry.
This is a question from Buzz Nigeria. What are your two favourite careers and why? It's careers, not careers.
Not
because that would be too easy.
Yeah, there are only two careers, aren't there? Yeah. Buzz Nigeria, and this is a website, is it?
Yeah, but they've asked this.
Not a man. I'm Buzz Nigeria! Great guy.
It might be a man.
Yeah, it might be, okay. Now, so you now ask me the question again, but as the man Buzz Nigeria.
I have to do it in that way. Hey, it's me, Buzz Nigeria.
Sounds an awful lot like a lot of your other characters.
Which are your two favourite careers?
Good question, Buzz. Thanks very much.
And why?
I like comedian. I like being a comedian.
Yeah, that's a career of sorts.
It'll get there. Have me on in a few years. It'll get there. Comedian's all right. I've always thought I'd quite like to be a chef. Mm. Or actually a policeman. I don't want comedian anymore. I want a chef and policeman. Because do you remember that show Pie in the Sky starring Richard Griffin?
Yes, I do.
I was always very jealous of that because he was both a chef and a policeman. So I think I'd like to be Richard Griffith in Pie in the Sky.
Yeah.
But
you could lose all the weight,
couldn't you? Yeah, I'd have to lose all the weight. He's no longer with us, of course.
He has sadly died.
I mean,
he's good. He's
he was brilliant.
Sad about
I saw
it.
Him
I'm
do
sad.
The
sun- I was just thinking about it, and I'm sad. Don't shake your head. It's sad.
I saw him do the Sunshine Boys with Danny DeVito.
Oh.
And Richard Griffiths remains the oddest shaped man I've ever seen in my life. And bearing in mind, at the time, he was stood next to Danny DeVito.
Dan DeVito's done a great little short film. It's on Vimeo. You can watch it about men in an old folks' home. Just a little tip for you. It's good. I can't remember what it's called. His daughter's in it. His daughter's in it, who looks really like Danny DeVito.
Oh.
Like... Well, you know what he looks
like? I mean, she must look at him every day and just go, fuck you. Fuck you and your sleeping sperm.
You know what she looks like? She looks like a combination of Danny DeVito and the woman from Cheers.
Oh, that's interesting.
Who's her mum?
Yeah. Rhea Perlman.
Rhea Perlman. But she plays the granddaughter of the other guy in it. I think that's a bit confusing. Because she so obviously looks like Danny DeVito. You're going, what's going on there?
You recommended this film and then have just taken it apart piece by piece.
Into pieces. Anyone seen that Danny DeVito short film? Oh, come on. What's wrong with you?
It's one hand up.
It's for free on Vimeo. Don't know what. Oh, while I'm talking about sponsoring things, this is Will Smith's new book from the comedian Will Smith.
Yeah.
Called Mainlander. Could you read it now and let me know what you think about it?
Read it just right now.
Yeah, read the whole thing now.
Yeah.
We'll just sit back and wait for you to do it, and then if you think it, just let us know if you think it's good or not.
In my head or out loud?
I think probably in your head, because otherwise there's probably copyright issues in there.
This is classic herring, this really is.
It's Will Smith's Mainlander. It's about Jersey in 1987.
It's not going to hook me in.
Someone goes
missing.
I'm
sure it's wonderful. He's a wonderful writer.
He was a guest on the podcast. We paid him some money to be a guest on the podcast, as we pay everyone.
Mm-hmm.
He paid more money to mention his book in the podcast.
He could have just asked. He probably would have done it anyway.
Yeah, I definitely would have shown it anyway.
Yep.
He's a fucking idiot. But he needs to sell £50 worth of books to make up the shortfall.
Right.
So please buy Will Smith's Mainlander. It is really good.
How much is it per copy?
It's £8.99 if you buy it.
That's RRP.
Yeah.
But Amazon's probably...
Yeah, Amazon, you probably get cheaper, or Kindle will be cheaper.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine Will gets 50p a copy. So he needs to sell quite a few of those from this little product placement.
You know, I don't think this is going to be the end of your sponsorship deals. I think you've made a rather intriguing prospect for everyone.
It's Mainlander by Will Smith. It's not the one you're thinking of. It's the English Will Smith from The Thick of It. He's good. Listen to the podcast he did. He's great.
I don't think he thought that the movie star and rapper Will Smith wrote a book about Jersey in the 1980s.
Well, I think he should. I think he should, and we should compare them. You can read Will Smith's one all the way through, and I'll read Will Smith's one all the way through.
All right.
And then at the end, we'll have to swap over and read the other one. Otherwise, yeah. We won't.
And at that point, we'll discover we've read the same one.
Is there anything purple within 10 feet of you?
I should have worn a purple thing. Not as far as I'm aware.
No.
I'd imagine quite a few people make penis-based jokes at that point. Yeah, yeah.
Well done for avoiding that trap.
Thank you. Well, it's not purple. It's very blue, weirdly, and awfully flat.
Just trying to see if I've got any good new... That one about...
Oh, make me laugh.
It was good. I'll ask you some classic emergency questions soon, but, you know, I'm enjoying... what is the worst Adam Sandler film?
Oh, that's tricky. Because he's made some all right stuff.
Yeah, well, not much, but a bit. Yeah, but it's a hard question because there's a lot. I can't choose the worst one. And I've seen all of them. I didn't manage to watch all of The Ridiculous Six. So maybe that's the worst. Does that make it the worst one or the best one? I don't know.
What, if you didn't make it all the
way through? Well, because I like them because they're bad, so if I stop watching one, maybe it's just not bad enough for me to...
I've remembered Little Nicky is absolutely one of the worst films I've ever
Little
seen.
Is Little Nicky the one with him and the guy from Saturday Night Live?
playing his son? No, he's the devil.
He plays the son of the devil.
Right, so, yeah.
Yeah, and it is absolutely dreadful, but it does feature the necessary Rob Schneider cameo.
Yes!
Shouting out from a crowd at the end, which must be a pretty bleak career, just waiting by the phone, waiting for Adam Sandler to call you to go, do you want to come and shout from a crowd? I'd absolutely love to, Adam. Thank you so much.
Well, there is a theory, there's a very good podcast we've mentioned a couple of times that has a big thing about Jack and Jill, which is one of his less good films.
Yeah.
But there's a theory that there's a big budget for these films, but you don't see any of the money on screen. So I think all the people who do appear in those films are quite happy to appear.
Yeah,
because they get paid very well in what?
It's Jack and Jill, where he plays his
own twin sister,
but they don't really show them on screen at the same time.
There's no real split screen technology. Yeah. That's too expensive, so they just clearly cut between the two of them, or they just don't share that many scenes.
In that case, just get someone else to play Jill. Yeah. I don't understand. It's just him.
Well, in The Cobbler, it seems like he's realised, hey...
The Cobbler?
The Cobbler, which I've talked about a bit, but he owns a magic... he owns a magic cobbling machine.
Right.
That when you cobble some shoes on it...
I don't know why I'd let that go so quickly. So, right, magic cobbling machine, carry on.
It's a magic cobbling machine.
Yeah.
And if he cobbles the shoes...
It's not just a normal cobbling machine.
It's magic. There's a normal cobbling machine, you just cobble some shoes on it.
Yeah.
And then you give them to the person and they go, thanks. In The Cobbler, he has to realise it's a magic cobbling machine, which is, against the cobbling code, really, because most cobblers would cobble the shoes and then just give the shoes back.
Yeah.
I don't imagine many cobblers think, oh, I'd like to... try those shoes on, yeah, see what happens.
Weird,
see what happens. Because you go, well, I've got to put some shoes on. But he tries the shoes on and realises that he turns into the person whose shoes they are.
He actually turns into them.
He turns into not them, but he looks exactly like them.
Right.
It gives him the power to look like the person who owns the shoes. Look, it sounds bad when you describe it like this. But if you actually sit down and watch the film he's put some hard work into...
But it's just not a good power, is it?
Sure.
Also, what sort of idiots still use cobblers? Oh, everyone here, apparently. So sorry.
Yeah, it's a good question. And it can only really attain the powers of people with the same size shoes as him.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, if you want to become maybe a lady with small feet, yeah, you're going to have to really jam your feet in.
Yeah, and what he doesn't do, he only does... So it makes it very hard for him to have his trademark homophobia sexism.
Yeah.
But he manages to do it because there's a transvestite who has big shoes and he turns into...
Of course, the loophole, the Sandler loophole.
But of course,
they spent weeks trying to work out how to do that in the script writing room, didn't they? They were like, how are we going to get you as a lady? Right, okay. Transvestite, even more offensive. Brilliant, let's do this.
It's good. But anyway, he realised he didn't have to do so much work because he turns into other people. You still get paid the same as for being Adam Sandler. It's good. It's a tough crowd, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, we're knocking out gold and there's absolutely nothing coming back, guys.
What is your favourite anagram?
Here we go. Back in the room, guys.
Should I tell you mine to give you some thinking time?
Yes.
Car, Torse and Orchestra.
I used to do a routine about anagrams.
Did you?
I used to do a routine about not eating fruit because I didn't like the anagrams of what the fruits were.
Yeah.
I mean,
it sounds good.
It was brilliant.
It sounds like something we could turn into an Adam Sandler film.
But I actually can't remember any of the solid ones. I can only remember one of the off-cut. No, it was cleverer than that. It was I don't enjoy hip-hop music in cold countries. I don't enjoy raspberries in cold countries. I can't remember the routine. It's on. I did it on Russell Howard's Good News in 2010.
Oh, we'll get that. Be on the internet. Should we get it up?
Yeah. Well, see me fat as well. Be lovely.
Okay, this is the one that's going to... This will pull us back.
All right.
Would you rather have dandruff that doubled up as an acceptable substitute for ground coriander?
Yeah, next one.
Or smegma,
That's quite a good question itself. Or smeg... or smegma that tasted like the most delicious cottage cheese. Which of those two would you rather have?
No, I'm not a fan of cottage cheese.
No.
It's you weird that that's the one I went with. I don't want to eat cottage cheese. No issue with popping a bit of smegma in my mouth. I think it's got to be the dandruff, hasn't it?
Well, I don't know. You don't have to eat. You could serve it up to other people.
The smegma?
Either.
But
it could be like the coriander. It's like, put it in a jar.
Yeah.
Sell that.
Sell that. So you would use coriander it as a money-making enterprise.
Yeah. Coriander shop. Similarly, could have a little boutique cottage cheese.
It would be boutique. It would be artisan, wouldn't it? Artisan smegma.
Little dishes of smegma.
I'm not a fan of cottage cheese.
You don't have to be. You're selling it to gullible members of the public.
Yeah, but that's...
You could put a bit of... Oh, you can't have both.
There's got to be some ethics. If you're selling your smegma, you better make darn sure you enjoy eating it as well. Somehow I knew I'd say that on here.
I've got 375 questions at the moment. I think I might ask you absolutely every... Do you have a preferred ear of the two?
I tell you what, we've already talked about smegma, but now we're going to come to earwax.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we all enjoy getting a bit of wax out now and again, but the left bad boy always gives up a little more, so okay, he's probably slightly preferred.
You prefer that?
Because I can get more out of it.
So you enjoy
getting...
Yeah, would you open an artisan shop selling... You can make candles out of that, and they don't have to eat them.
I mean, when I say I get more out of it, it's not a candle's worth.
But over time...
It would be a long time, though. But weirdly, that's the one, if I dig too deep, I cough.
Do you?
Yeah. Four people got that observation.
You're not meant to put cotton buds in your ears.
You're not?
No.
Where are you meant to put them?
I don't really know what they're for. They're for babies, aren't they? But I don't know what you...
We're like drumsticks. For a baby's band.
So babies can do gladiators.
They're for baby gladiators, yeah.
I think they're just, you meant to use them to wipe makeup off and stuff.
Look at a woman, that's so good. I think you use them to wipe makeup
off. Or like, if a baby's got some stuff on it. Definitely don't put them in a baby's ear.
No.
Because you're not going to put stuff in your ear because you damage your eardrum.
Right.
And then if you perforate your eardrum, you're in all kinds of trouble.
I think if you're struggling for emergency questions, what are cotton buds for should definitely go in the book straight away.
All right, I'll write
it. Does anyone know what cotton buds are for?
They're not
in your ears, thank you.
It specifically says on the packet, do not put them in your ear.
Yeah, but that's like when they released long Rizzlers and they were like, oh, they're not for weed. We all know what people are doing with them. Oh, they're for truck drivers on long journeys. They're for massive joints.
Why hast thou forsaken me?
That one was definitely written at 2 in the morning when you're in a panic. What is a question that other people have said? I don't think I've forsaken you, have I, Richard?
No, I don't.
I've always been a big supporter of your work.
Thank you.
I would never forsake
you. I'll wait till I'm being crucified, and then you're not around to save me, and I'll go, why is that?
Well, I would be there. I'd be there to watch you crucified.
If I was being crucified, would you try and get me down, or would you say, like, you keep getting...
There's a big logical leap coming, by the way.
Crucifixion. They bring back crucifixion for people who are normal, decent people.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of UKIP fans in tonight. You know, they're people going, hey, come on.
Yeah. All off with their racist shoes down to the cobblers.
And then I'm being crucified, and you've got some pliers.
Yeah.
Would you get me down?
And then I'd tend to your wounds with cotton buds.
That's what that would work.
Yeah, they'd be stigmata.
I hope that never happens. But thanks. And if it happens, I'm going to go, why haven't you forsaken me? Little twist. And we'll laugh. If you don't get it, I'll go... It's like when Jesus got crucified.
Yeah.
That's what I'm referring to.
We'll all laugh.
Why do you think Jesus asked that question?
Why hast thou forsaken me?
To his, he was talking to his dad.
Yeah.
Do you think Jesus didn't know about the crucifixion plan?
I don't think he knew about it. Well, because otherwise most of Jesus' life would just be him practicing his surprise face.
But he must have known. He's Jesus.
Jesus wasn't Mystic Meg.
He knew that he was on earth to sacrifice himself to save mankind.
Right, yeah, but I don't think he knew how it was going to happen.
But then when it was happening, you go, this is it.
Oh, yeah, it's now, isn't it?
To be fair, he predicted to his disciples that he would be crucified.
What, specifically?
Earlier on, yeah. Yeah. Earlier on, he was having the disciples, and one of you's going to let me down. Then I'll be up.
That's
what's in the Bible.
How did they write
he doesn't get
in the Bible?
And it says, and Jesus did and make
a pop sound.
Yeah. Whilst hammering.
Yeah.
Hammering into his nails. And so he knew that he was going to get crucified. Anyway, he knows he's Jesus. He knows he's coming back.
Yeah.
He said he's going to come back. He said, I'll be back. Don't worry.
Bit of theatre, isn't it?
He's really cross with God at that point. But he also knows he's the Son of God. So why would he go,
But you've got your pranks. Sometimes, you know what it's like is when you're in the public eye.
Yeah.
You're constantly thinking of things. And he was like, fuck, there's a punchline that hadn't occurred to me before. Why hast thou forsaken me? Bang. And that's like classic stuff.
It's a good quote.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
I mean, not for this, but...
Could Jesus have written 500 of those, though? He can come up with one.
Not straight afterwards.
No. Interesting, isn't it? He doesn't think it's interesting, but that's interesting. Why did Jesus say that to God? Yeah, you don't know, do you? But has it challenged your faith and made you think again? Yeah, it has, see.
Do you want to quickly check in with this lady?
Do you know who Jesus is? Do you think you'll be coming to the show again, you two? She doesn't know who CJ from Eggheads is. She doesn't know who CJ from Eggheads is. What chance has Jesus got? Do you not watch Eggheads? I'm going to get you on next week. Would you? I've got. I tell you what, 7th of November, I still haven't got any guests at all. Do you want to? Do you want to come on and be the guest? Fucking hell. Do you Google yourself?
No, I don't. Google's a very poor way to find out what people are saying about you.
Yeah,
I think I don't. I don't think I Google myself. No,
you read reviews.
Not in Edinburgh anymore. Mm. No, I think it's absolutely...
Can you get away without doing it? Don't you end up getting shown the good ones anyway?
No, you get sent... So I get sent, like, if I get a good star rating, I'll know if I've got a good star rating, but I don't want to read the content of the review.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't read reviews. I'm mad enough already up there.
If it helps you do a better show?
But it would never help you do a better show, would it? If someone's saying, you're really good, it's not going to make you go on and be better. It's just going to make you go on thinking, I'm really good. These people deserve me. And if someone says you're bad, you're going to get all sad, aren't you?
Well, maybe, but if they say you're really bad and should give up...
Yeah. What review have you found?
But if they say, hey, maybe that cauliflower bit needs a bit of work. Maybe you should try and remember what the anagram of raspberry was.
It was rap, brewer, yes, but I couldn't remember the...
Raspberry. That's good.
That's about the... That's why it got cut. That is the reaction that used to get.
I loved those Peacock and Gamble shows. They were so good.
They were good. We were very proud of them.
Yeah, oh, man.
They were a mess. But
no, they were. They weren't though. They were. It was. They
but deliberate by design.
Yeah, but they were. It was like a very worked out, chaotic, amazing show.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, it's crazy in Edinburgh, isn't it? It's nuts. Too many people up there, isn't there?
It's madness. Don't try and tempt me away from Edinburgh. You're trying to start your offshoot fresh. Oh, why don't we all come here and do all of our shows in one big in one night or whatever you did? You madman.
Are you going up next year to Edinburgh?
I haven't decided yet. I have not written one joke since I've been back from this year's Fringe.
Right.
I fear I may have forgotten how to do so. So we'll give it a bit of time, see if I can write a joke, and then...
I bet you can. When's your show on? Your show's on here.
It's on here on November 25th.
Too late for the people at home, but, you know, the people here might want to come along.
I don't do any of the stuff I've said tonight.
He will be. He'll be doing it all.
Yeah.
He'll be doing that Why Hast Thou Forsaken Me routine. He'll be starting with that.
So earwax. Gold. Open with earwax. And then I close by doing the can-can with someone dressed up as a big cotton bud.
If Frankie Boyle is the Mick Jagger of comedy, the outspoken voice of the disenfranchised youth, dehumanised and demonised by the press and feared by parents nationwide, if that's true.
Yeah.
And Dave Gorman is Ringo Starr, an everyman, he's well known and provides entertainment in a variety of guises, but he still gives the impression he'd be incredibly polite if he ever met your mother. If those two things,
if those two things are true, yeah,
then what are you? If Frankie Boyle is the Mick Jagger of comedy.
If Frankie Boyle is the Mick Jagger of comedy.
And Mick Jagger is all those things that he says that he isn't. And if Dave Gorman is Ringo Starr and is all those things that are not true of Ringo Starr, what would you be?
Well, who are you first? And I'll see if it's...
I'm not in it.
You're not in comedy?
I'm not a part of it. I'm not part of the... That's a genuine review of Dave Gorman.
The Ringo Starr.
If Frankie Boyle is the Mick Jagger of comedy, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Then Dave Gorman is the Ringo Starr.
Oh, that is depressing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not particularly rock and roll, am I? I'd like to say like Iggy Pop or something, but I'm clearly not.
Good, but no, but you're not like him, so that's good. So all you have to do
so let's is work through of, from
and
there.
Then,
so
and we're... then think of some things that Iggy Pop isn't. and then we've got it. Then we're through.
God, Chris Martin popped up in my head. That's depressing, isn't it?
It is.
To think I'm like Chris Martin, just the most boring white man on the fucking planet.
Don't have a go at Chris Martin. I played Trivial Pursuits with Chris Martin once.
It's called Trivial Pursuit, isn't it? So, you made yourself look like a tit out the gate. Oh, Chris, do you want to play Trivial Pursuits? Thinks you're a bellend, mate, Chris Martin.
I think it's called Trivial Pursuits.
But it's not. It's not an opinion thing.
Let's have a look. I'm going to Google it.
Let's have a look.
Just talk amongst yourselves for a little while we sort this out. I bet it's John Majors, right? Trivial. It's suggesting pursuit.
Yeah. Well, no, that might be because people always have this argument and that's the wrong answer. So you...
Trivial Pursuits has come up.
Yep, because there are idiots out there.
It's a bit slow, the internet at the Leicester Square Theatre.
It's almost as if the internet's decided this is not a relevant use of it.
Trivial Pursuits is a board game in which winning...
Is this from your blog? What are you...
Trivial Pursuits.
Trivial Pursuit, yes, there we go.
You can get it at John Lewis. Have you ever played Harry Potter Trivial Pursuit?
I've not. No, how on earth did you think of that question? It's come up on there, hasn't it? Yeah.
If you're going to buy Harry Potter Trivial Pursuit,
yeah.
Which shop would you buy it from? And you can't look at the...
Possibly, I'd buy it online.
I'll tell you what your choices are.
Okay.
Robert Dias, yeah. Debenhams. Robert Dias, Debenhams, eBay, Wilco.com... or Ryman.co.uk.
Those are the only places that Harry Potter Trivial
Pursuit
is.
That's where we have... Oh, okay, view all sellers. Or Groupon UK, or I want Groupon. One of those. Zavvy.com, TheHut.com, or Argos. Which one would you buy it from?
Probably Argos. No? It's wrong. I didn't realise it was a right or wrong thing.
Second best answer.
Yeah.
I would definitely buy it from Groupon UK.
You get a Groupon for Harry Potter Trivial Pursuit. Yeah.
$7.99, mate. You're paying £8.19. £20p up on it. That's 20p.
Yeah.
I'll be playing, and when we were playing it,
yeah.
When you came around my house to play it, I'd just be spinning a little 20p piece on the board.
So hang on, why am I coming to your house to play it? If you've got it, I don't need to buy it. I'll just come over. Am I bringing my copy as well? This is like the Will Smith book all over again.
Where do you think the worst place to buy Harry Potter Trivial Pursuit would be?
Oh, maybe Zavvy.
No, Zavvy's not bad. It's quite bad. but it's 1p.
It's cost
less,
one p less
than Debenhams, where it's a full £10.
Yeah, but you're getting a quality of service from Debenhams. That
see, but Zavvi is clever because you look at I look at £10. Well, I'm not buying that £10. Yeah. It's quite good actually for Trivial Pursuit. I'd pay seven.
Is it the full board game or is it just an extra box of questions?
Oh, that's good. Let's just find that out.
Show ended about 15 minutes ago, by the way.
8 years and up.
Well, that's how long this has been going on for.
View more details.
Those Harry three Potter words that every audience member wants to hear. View more details.
I think it's an expansion pack.
Yeah. I'm not paying
Well spotted.
Paying £10.
That'd hook me out. I thought I was getting a whole, like, Dumbleboard door mountain.
Dumbleboard. You made an accidental pun, Richard Herring. Dumbleboard.
And all that Hogwarts, what's in it?
With all the Hogwarts
and the
in it.
Train. I thought the train was. I thought the train would come in. You get. I thought you get.
Yeah.
Like you open the box. It's and like King's Cross Station. You walk in that 9¾.
You walk into the box. See, the box is a portal straight away.
For, yeah, take it on a train.
For £8.19, you get. You get a portal,
yeah.
Right, that opens
then
up to
on
King's
a train,
Cross.
They bring round the the trolley.
The trolley comes round.
The sweets.
Yeah.
Get a few of those. You have to pay extra for the sweets.
Yeah.
That's when my 20p comes in handy.
I just... Do I have to pay the same amount extra as I paid for the game? So if I bought it from Debenhams, would I have to pay top whack for the sweets?
Yeah. Right. And then you get there, and then you get in. That is just a Trivial Pursuit board.
Oh, so you get this... You go through a portal, you get on a train to Hogwarts, the Hogwarts Express,
yeah.
You get the sweets, and then you arrive at Hogwarts, and it's just a Trivial Pursuit board.
And the
letdown would be astonishing, wouldn't it?
And a pack of questions.
And a pack of questions, yeah.
I don't really like Harry Potter. I wouldn't be very good at the actual game.
No, but you'd like the train.
My wife knows all about it, so she'd win every time.
Yeah.
I might get that for Christmas.
Yeah. But again, I'll just reiterate that doesn't happen with that. So you've just said, I'll get that for Christmas, as if that everything you just said is part of it.
Only one way to find out, then.
No.
The catamaran one's the main one.
Oh, by the way, I've just started a Kickstarter for that Harry Potter board game.
It's a new thing, we should do it. I think you're really good at being a comedian. You should carry on.
This is like a child at school with no friends, desperately trying to make friends. Mum, I've got no friends. Well, give them a compliment and then invite them for tea. I think you're good at being a comedian. Please, will you come to my house and play Harry Potter Trivial Pursuits?
I'm going to go around every Trivial Pursuit board and put an S on the end. So I am. Trivial Pursuit's right, Andy?
Yes.
Thank you, Andy.
Andy, you're not allowed to suck me off anymore.
I think you should read Will Smith's Mainlander.
Doesn't it good?
I think that will help.
All right.
I'm going to gift you this photocopy. A photocopy of my pages from this actual book.
Oh wow!
Photocopied,
proper photocopy.
This has the photocopied signature of Brett Goldstein.
Always wanted that.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you very much.
That's a little memento. This is a bit like Jim will fix it.
Already was in the dressing room.
Why would you immediately leak to that part? There's loads of good things about Jim Will Fix It. Why immediately leak to the bad one bad thing about it? It's just that's the way their minds work.
Yeah.
I would think, oh, great, I get a prize for coming in. Get the funny chair.
I mean, I don't want to use the word overshadowed, but...
Remember when Shane Ritchie did the Jim Will Fix It tribute?
No.
When they had a big...
How far did he take the tribute? Oh, is this one of these ones you'll have to bleep?
You asked a reasonable question. Thank and you. I think he just did a good job of doing... making children's wishes come true.
I'd love it if the curtain just came across it.
Oh, God. Well, I've had a good time.
So have I.
Yeah, I've been crying. It's good. Sometimes I'm tired, Denise.
Mm.
I don't know what I am today. I've been ill. I think I might just have actually gone over the edge. I'm like mentally speaking during this.
I have that effect on people.
Yeah, but it's been, it's been lots of fun. I think we'll let people go home. Next week we've got Dawn French. Like proper... And Deborah Francis White.
That's why you were trying out all those emergency questions.
Yes. I'm very excited about Dawn French.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What are you going to ask her? Do you want to do a quick practice now?
Okay. You were in the Vicar of Dibley.
I was.
Would you rather have dandruff that's like coriander or smegma that is like cottage cheese?
Okay, so I'm glad we did this practice. I don't think
remember when you fell in that big puddle?
Yeah, I do.
What do you prefer, being in a double act or something else?
They're both very good.
No, don't need to have her on now.
Do you want me to come on every week and act as the guest who you've got on the week before?
Yeah.
Just give you a little run through.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It'd be good, wouldn't it?
Very nice. Ladies and gentlemen, go and see Ed Gamble on stage.
Yeah, that's the name of the show. Thanks for guessing at that. Ed Gamble on stage. I mean, that is promising the bare minimum, isn't it?
We can't
see Ed Gamble on stage. He didn't even make it on stage. It was an absolute disaster. They did it from the wings.
We can't promise. We make no promises. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Ed Gamble. Thank you very much for coming. You have been listening to Returning to Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Ed Gamble. The music's by Pest. The people I have to thank are Go Faster Stripe and the Leicester Square Theatre and British Comedy Guide. It's produced by Ben Walker and it's a Fuzz, Go Faster Stripe and Sky Potato production. Thank you for listening to it. If you enjoy these podcasts, why not come and see me live? Then I could earn some money and make more podcasts. My tour, The Best, is going to be mainly between February and May 2017. There's a couple of dates in 2016. Go to richherring.com/the_best/tour and you can see all of the tour dates that are coming up. Please buy some tickets. They're a perfect Christmas gift for a Rich Herring fan. Thank you. Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.